ഹരി കൃഷ്ണ. നമാമിശാംപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ പൂജലേ ശ്രീമാതെ ഭക്തി വിദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശനിവാരി ൃഭ്യൂഭ്യഥിതാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാർ ശിവ ഹരിഗോർ ഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരി, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരി. Ten years is a significant period of time. When we look at 10 years, you could feel like it went by like a flash. When we look at 10 minutes, it can feel like time is never ending. Perhaps because of the other speakers and because of the occasion itself, I will focus more on Srila Gurudev's departure, pastime. We all do remember when we heard the news, know where we were and who broke it to us and what we did immediately thereafter. I also came to Dallas. But I'm going to focus on a little different aspect of the experience, which was when I visited the tree that Tamal Krishna Goswami's vehicle hit. When he was driving from Mayapur on his way to Calcutta. But before then, I had two experiences that relate to each other. Wondering why, as Vinayananda Maharaj said, Krishna knows best. But still, one does question why. And there could be many answers. But after my visit to Dallas, immediately after we received the news, I returned to Santa Barbara and I visited a place which I probably, of all the places I associate the most with Tamal Krishna Goswami in Santa Barbara, because it's a place where we walked together by the ocean and we sat and had a picnic lunch together. And I feel his presence there specifically. And on that day, I had some I was, you could say, grappling with some problems or questions, and I was wondering what the answer is, and I didn't even see how I could proceed until I got the answer. So I was walking, and the place where we sat was sort of like on an upward incline, almost at the top of a hill. And at that time, for me, it was a very difficult climb. But anyway, I was chanting, and I guess in the back of my mind or in the front of my mind was this question. And I thought, well, when I get to the top of the hill, you know, when I get to the end, I should get the answer. But when I was partway up the hill, I got the answer. And I thought, wow. And I was really struggling, I mean physically struggling with that climb. And then I got a further level of answer, if you will, that this was what Srila Prabhupada had done with Tamal Krishna Goswami. In other words, if it took me climbing all the way to the top to get the answer, I would have. I began with the expectation that I would. But out of some mercy, I got the answer before going all the way to the top. I didn't have to go to the top. And then I got the sense that Tamal Krishna Goswami was prepared to climb, you know, all the way to the top and undergo the suffering that would have been involved in it. But that Srila Prabhupada wanted to spare him that suffering. That he had achieved what Srila Prabhupada had wanted, essentially. He had understood what Srila Prabhupada had wanted, essentially. And so Prabhupada didn't want to subject him to more suffering, even though Tamal Krishna Goswami himself would have been prepared to carry on. Now, what was that suffering? One could easily imagine different answers. But I got some insight into at least one part of the answer. When Agavit Prabhu, who was Tamal Krishna Goswami's personal servant, in general, in the last years when Tamal Krishna Goswami went to Calcutta Mayapur, and in particular on his last visit. And Agavit Prabhu was let us say, Tamal Krishna Goswami was in a tremendous amount of physical pain. But he didn't want his disciples to know. And Agavit Prabhu proposed some medical treatments that could possibly have alleviated some of his pain. But Tamakrishna Goswami didn't want to undergo them because he didn't want his disciples to know what his condition was. And he said that my disciples are my life. I've given my life to my disciples. And so he didn't want to do anything that might disturb their relationship with him. Another thing he said, in a different vein, but it was also significant. Tamakrishna Goswami, as we know, was extraordinarily intelligent and perceptive and truthful, honest, straightforward. But at the end, he was noticing many mistakes in the service being performed around him. But he told Abhagat Prabhu that, "I see everything, but I'm not saying anything. Because I've come on a pilgrimage. And if I have to correct the disciples, if I have to do what it takes to really get through to them, to actually correct them, then I will have to change my mood, which I don't want to do." And he also said that we don't know how much of my association they will have in the future. So I want their last memories of me to be sweet. Anyway, different things that Agavit Prabhu said made me resolve that when I go back to India, I want to visit the tree. I want to visit the site of his. And I did. And when I first encountered the tree, I was filled with a lot of anger. I saw the tree as an instrument of something very bad, very, very harmful, and I was angry. And but of course the tree is just a tree in a sense, you know. But this sort of argument was taking place. Why? You know, to Goswami Maharaj, why? You know, why did you have to leave? Why did you have to leave at such a time, such an early stage when so many of us individually were depending on you and so many of the future plans for the whole movement were resting on you? But of course, we know Prabhupada called him. But still, you know, why? So then at a certain stage, and this is very subjective, of course, a certain stage, I felt he said, well, you'll also be coming. So as soon as I heard that, my mood changed dramatically. I thought, well, if at the end of it all, I'm going to join them, him and Srila Prabhupada, well, that's not so bad. And then again, I felt, he said, but you have to do three things before you come. One, you have to write your books. Two, you have to help devotees chant their japa, which really means I have to improve my own japa. And three, you have to give shelter to more souls. So first, it's going on in its own way, and definitely it is Tamal Krishna Goswami's mercy on me that he prepared Bhakta Karo externally and internally to help in that important service. Japa, well, we're struggling, but we're doing what we can, attending japa retreats, facilitating japa retreats, and something is happening, some improvement is there. But give shelter is something I could never relate to. Till this day, I have a hard time understanding what does it mean to give shelter. How can I give shelter? I mean, I could see how Tamal Krishna Goswami could, because he was so qualified in so many ways. I don't see how I could. I can't even relate to the idea. But last Kartik, at the Bhaktivedanta Hospice in Vrindavan, there was a ceremony to welcome deities of Krishna Balaram to be worshipped at the hospice. And his Holiness Radhanath Swami was there with me, and the arrangement was that we would both do the arti simultaneously. And then, anyway, I ended up on one side, he ended up on another side, and we were offering the arti. And I'm looking at the deity of Balaram, and it's like he was alive. It's like he was really there. It's like really there, and very beautiful and charming and enchanting. So this question had been on my mind, not in such broad terms. It is, what do I do when people approach me? I just feel so awkward. And again, I felt that Lord Balaram was saying, well, just, you know, don't refuse anyone who approaches you, and I will back you up. So, well, that sounded all right. That sounded all right. So, then I you know, try to be more open when people approached me. And then at the end, before leaving Vrindavan, because you know the mind, so the intelligence, doubt is a function of the intelligence, according to the Bhagavatam. So I came in front of Balaram in the temple, in Krishna Balaram temple, and sort of like, you know what I thought you said, or what I imagined you said, on the first day in the hospice. Does that still stand? I mean, was that for real, or was that my imagination? What was that? And I got the answer. It still stands. And that was in my mind from then until today. But today, when I heard His Holiness Giridhari Swami's beautiful message, I had a further thought about what it means for, you know, Lord Balaram to be there to back me up. Yes, it means Lord Balaram, the older brother of Krishna in Vrindavan. But it also means his manifestation as Nityananda Prabhu and as our spiritual master for me, Sri Prabhupada, and His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. So now, or those were the, if you want to say, instructions, my assignment, not my assignment. And then, as Bhakti Karl said, it's the association with the spiritual master comes really in the process of following the instructions. I remember one class Tamal Krishna Goswami gave in Vrindavan, and he was speaking about Srila Prabhupada's books, and he was saying that Srila Prabhupada's books are not just words on a page, but they are alive. The instructions are not just words on a page, but they are active, and they're meant to be followed. So reading Srila Prabhupada's books really means taking the instructions that he gives you in the books and following them. But that's what, when we say that the association of Vani, it means hearing the instructions and trying our best to follow them. So in that process, we experience the presence of the spiritual master and Tamal Krishna Goswami. And there's like general instructions and specific instructions. And sometimes when we take up a project that is especially dear to him in a personal way, we get a special type of reciprocation. Like coming here, I had a flight from Santa Barbara to San Francisco that had a 1 hour and 40 minute layover in San Francisco. The flight from Santa Barbara was 1 hour and 20 minutes late. So when I got to the, you know, I told the air hostess, you know, this is my situation. She spoke to the captain formed the head, informed the gate that our flight was late, that we were going to be coming. She told us what the gate number was. She said, the only thing I can't tell you is if they'll hold the flight for you. So I thought, you know, materially, we cannot make this flight. I mean, there's no use even trying, you know. We can only make it if there's a miracle. And miracles happen, you know, little and big. I said, okay, we'll try. You know, we'll try. So we're like literally, I mean, walking as fast as we could on the moving, on the, I guess, escalators, but flat. And then in between, running, literally running. And when we got there, the flight was still open. Wow, this is amazing. So we got on the airplane, and prior to that, Madhava had said how he took the same airline to Santa Barbara, and he was like 2 minutes late, and they were like so stern. We are an on-time airline. I'm sorry, you are 2 minutes late. We are an on-time airline. And it was like, wow, these are the people we're going to have to deal with. So anyway, we made the flight, and then a lady came on board, and I wanted to use the restroom before we took off. And the other, you can't, you know, we have to take off. Then this lady comes on, and she says, and she didn't know, maybe she didn't. She said, the flight's already late. I just didn't have the heart to leave without those passengers who were late. So she said, I'm already going to get in trouble. So what does it matter? You might as well use the mental. But so I got up, and then the other staunch one, okay, went back, sat down. So I was thinking, that was very nice of her. And in that corporate culture, it was very unusual. I mean, she, like, took a risk. And then suddenly, another one of these messages from Gurudev. I arranged that. So, then it's like, you know, I didn't have my cushion with me. I didn't want to have to worry about it. So anyway, that seat was like so uncomfortable. It was the most uncomfortable seats I've ever been on an airplane. And I looked and I saw there's something at the bottom of the seat. And I looked at it. It was like a little blanket. I thought, oh, I can just fold this. This would be perfect. I'll just fold this. And I'll just keep it in the small of my bag. It'll be, and I did. It's perfect. Wow. Krishna's mercy. And the voice. I arranged that too. So, yeah, when we make that effort, Gurudev reciprocates. We've all experienced it. And that's one of the reasons I like to serve him, is to get that very personal type of reciprocation from him, especially in Dallas, which was his headquarters, in Texas generally. You really feel his presence. And when I went to the Philippines, And the devotees were really, there was a group of a few pretty senior devotees who were like really working on me to commit myself to going to China and spending time in China. I mean, heavy. And there were about five of them. They weren't there all at the same time, but like, it was like a tag team, and they were like putting you through the ringer. So anyway, I was just going to take my walk on the beach, and they were like congregated on the stairway, and they like held me up on the landing of the stairway for a long time. Anyway, you know, think about it. Think about it seriously. Let me take my walk. So I took my walk, and at the end of the walk, I was looking, are they still there? Oh, God, they're still there. And there was no other way to get up to the floor where we were staying without going up that stairway. So, I don't know, it was round 2 or round 12 or round 15. I remember, but it was like... And then, but then one of the devotees said something that really tipped the balance. I mean, they said so many things about the preaching, about the devotees there. But then one devotee said something that really, for me, tipped the balance, which was that, you know, if you go there, you'll really feel Srila Gurudev's presence. And I thought, oh, that's what I want. I mean, yes, all the other things are nice, that they're sincere, they're receptive, they need association and everything else. But that was really it. The thought of that very sort of personal, intimate reciprocation with Kamal Krishna Goswami that I knew would come. And it comes to anyone who takes up any aspect of his mission. But I think it does come in a more personal way and perhaps a more marked way when you take up a part of his mission that's extremely dear to him. So I'm glad that you all are like, hey, Prabhu's more service for us. That you all are giving me the chance to attempt to serve Tamal Krishna Goswami and feel his very personal reciprocation in my efforts to serve all of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai.